put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes, dude, good evening. 7:30, which means it's time for Shock Therapy Live. I'm excited. That's all I'm going to say. I have two very, very special guests in the studio right now. Our dear friend Nate Heitzig is away for the weekend doing other things, and so I said, what am I going to do? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go around campus because there's 147 pastors here. So to my left, I have Denver Miller.
Hello, hello.
How are you, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Would you like to give your name and occupation, like at least what you do around here?
My name is Denver Miller.
What?
And I am the assistant pastor of Renovate College Ministry.
There you go. Like, you're like the right-hand man. You're the Darth Vader to Nate Heitzig's Emperor Palpatine.
That's what I am.
Okay,
sweet. A lot of people call me that, actually.
All right.
What's up, Darth?
To my right, Ray Del Toro, you are what? Awesome?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm also the youth pastor for Vertical Student Ministries here on Calvary's campus.
And
that's awesome. It's great.
So now Nate's gone, but I don't have one. I have two pastors tonight to tackle all of the awesome questions that have already been flooded in on Facebook. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Are you guys ready to do this?
I hope so.
All right. I guess since there's all of us, should we just like raise our hand when we want to speak? I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that structured. If you're just joining Shock Therapy Live, you've never been a part of the show, let me just tell you, what we are setting out to do is answer your questions biblically. It doesn't matter what your church or what a pastor or what anybody says. We care about what the Bible has to say, bottom line. And so we're not looking for Christian worldview. We're looking for a biblical worldview. Amen?
Amen.
All right, there we go. So let's get right to it. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, or if you'd like to chime in, 338-3700 is the phone number. Now, we've gotten some interesting ones on Facebook already. One that immediately stuck out was Heather Campbell. She says, how do we forgive ourselves? You know, it may sound simple, but it's hard for Christians. I could give my two cents, but I don't know. I'll figure I'd let you guys speak first, since you're the authorities and all.
Well, I've heard this question before, and what immediately came to my mind when I read this question earlier was that we are in no position to forgive ourselves, that right. We're here to, as believers, accept forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And so I think immediately the first thing that I think of is, who am I to forgive myself? But
right.
I'm nobody. And the reality of the truth of the gospel is that we need Jesus. We need him. And so I would say, just very briefly, if I could answer the question, is I need Jesus, and because I need him, I need his forgiveness.
Right.
And when I accept that he's forgiven me as a free gift, and he's able and willing to cleanse me from unrighteousness, I realize that, you know, there's no place for me to forgive myself because I can't fix myself.
Well,
he can fix me.
Let's face it. There's a lot of books out there, a lot of self-help books, a lot of like, you just gotta, you know, you gotta forgive yourself. It's all about you and yourself. And basically, you're taking the focus off of Jesus Christ and placing it squarely on yourself.
On yourself.
I would have to agree. Denver, anything to add? Or?
I concur.
Yeah. Pretty much that's it, right?
Yeah.
So it seems tough, but that's it. You know, it is shock therapy. So there you go. You don't have the right to forgive yourself, is basically what we're saying.
Absolutely.
Jesus has already forgiven you of your sins. You have to accept that forgiveness. And that's pretty much it.
Yes.
All right. There we go. Sweet. All right. We got another one from Alyssa. This is the hot topic of the year, apparently. And I'm not talking about the trendy goth store. I'm talking about great questions. All right. Stance on drinking is clear, she says. Okay. Because we've talked about it every week. However, she says, what about where to drink, which we touched on a little bit last week? Are parties and bars still okay, even when you're not getting "quote unquote" drunk? So the question basically is: Are parties and bars still okay, even when you're not getting drunk?
Well, for that, I turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 18.
Okay,
and it's talking about John the Baptist, and the Jews saw John, and they said, verse 18. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. So John, we know he ate locusts and honey.
Right.
They called him crazy because he kind of was.
Right.
A little bit. He seemed kind of crazy. He
right.
wasn't really. But then it says in verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, And they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibbler, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And so right away, it's like, well, obviously Jesus wasn't a glutton and Jesus wouldn't have ever gotten drunk.
Right.
He was perfect and sinless. But from this verse, we see that Jesus was right. hanging out with sinners and tax collectors and drinking.
Right.
And so, should we, am I justifying going out and clubbing?
No. Wait. Are you serious?
Stop it.
Sorry. I have to go
but,
to, like, repent. I have to forgive myself.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
Bad joke.
But when it comes down to it, as a Christian, we should do everything, not for selfish reasons, but
right.
And the reason anyone, maybe someone would want to go out to a club and drink, but when it comes down to it, is it going to cause someone else to stumble?
Right.
Which we've talked about in drinking in general.
Absolutely.
Is it going to cause someone to stumble?
Romans 14 is a great place to start with that. I recommend reading through Romans 14. Of course, 1 Corinthians 10:31, a scripture that always sticks with me is, you know, whether food or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Is what you're doing going to bring glory and honor to God? Are you wanting to go to a party? Are you wanting to go to a bar to get trashed with your friends? Even if you say, I'm not going to get drunk, I'm just going to go have a few brews with my friends out there. 90% of the people going to bars are going to get drunk, right? Going to hook up, going to get drunk. And so if you're out there and the 90% is saying, do this, let's just come on, let's have another one. I think of Psalm 1 and talking about the awesome stream of good friends and what that brings as opposed to, you know, the other friends who may not necessarily be so awesome and what that brings. So, yeah, I think, you know, as you said, Romans 14, great place to start. We got an email actually from Nina who said, you know, we have to remember that scripture clearly warns us not to be a stumbling block to others. Being a former drug, alcohol abuse counselor, I was convicted years ago that if I were to choose to have even one glass of wine in public and a fellow Christian sees me and arrives at their own conclusion that since I'm a Christian that it's okay to drink, I could inadvertently be a stumbling block to that person who may predispose to alcoholism. So a person's personal conviction by the Holy Spirit is very important when it comes to being a possible stumbling block. Anything, Dan?
Okay. Well, what if I am wearing my awesome steel-toe boots that I wear on a weekly basis?
Okay.
and I kick you in the shin inadvertently.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you drop some words that shouldn't be dropped. Am I inadvertently responsible for you cursing?
Wow.
I mean, is that my fault?
Well, I mean,
should I go home and like beat myself up about this?
The funny thing is that I think that's kind of where we've headed because, you know, speaking very plainly here. In fact, if you want to join in the conversation, 338-3700 or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. That's kind of where it's at. You know, we talk about, you know, Romans 14 always talks about the weaker Christian. And yes, it definitely tells you, you know, don't be a stumbling block. And if it's going to cause somebody to stumble, just don't even freaking do it. You know what I mean? Just back away. You don't have to do this. But where's the line, asking you guys as pastors, where's the line as far as I'm going to cause somebody to stumble or this person is still responsible for their own actions? You know, like you said, if you kick me in the shin and I blurt out a bunch of curse words, doesn't the Bible also talk about from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks? So
right.
Out of the abundance of myself is the mouth is speaking. It's not what we take in, but what comes out, right?
Right.
And so that's a good one. I mean, I'm asking you. You're the pastors. I mean, just saying.
He points at me, and I point at him, so we're going back and forth. But here's the reality. Here's the truth.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't ever say A, B, and C, and
right.
Here's how you do it.
Yeah.
So we are called to rightly divide the word of truth, and we're called to do that. So we need people to call in right now.
There you go.
And rightly divide the word of truth.
Yeah, 338-3700 or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. And that's kind of what it's at. I think a lot of times when people are asking where the line is, then chances are you probably shouldn't even be asking that question or going near that because, you know, Book of James talks about to him, you know, who knows what to do and does not
do it.
For him, it's sin. So relatively speaking about sin, not saying all sin is relative. Yes, there are absolutes. But if you know, you probably shouldn't be going clubbing. You probably shouldn't be in that bar. You know that you have a friend who has a predisposition for alcohol and is kind of weak in a sense of they're going to use it to go get blazed, then maybe you should probably not do that. I don't know. Anyways, 338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to join in on Shock Therapy Live. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going, man. Good.
You know, you really hit it on the head there. I think Paul says it best when he says, all things are permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial.
Right.
And I think really the question for every believer is, it's really not, is this right or wrong? Is this beneficial? Is it beneficial to me and to others? And it takes, you know, to be discerning as a believer goes beyond what any law or any code of law could ever entail, because there are so many situations. God really has not gone to the length in the Word to, like you said, you know, here's this situation, and if that happens, here's what you need to do. It's, you know, God is really training us to love our fellow man and to behave accordingly, and to be able to realize, you know, hey, you know, I'm familiar with this person. I know they have a problem with alcohol, let's say. I'm going to make up, you know, even though I feel the freedom, even though, like you said, Steve-O in Romans 14, you know, I'm not going to use my freedom to make this person stumble. I'm going to keep that between myself and God, like it says.
Right. Now, of course, thank you for the call, by the way. Now, here's a good question. You know, Colossians talks about not allowing anyone to judge you according to what you eat or what you drink, you know, and in fact, Pastor Levi Lesko last week on Fresh Life was talking about this and how it's talking about strong drink there. And I think a lot of times, you know, we get on this defense, like this question, is it okay? Are parties and bars still okay? I think the answer would be, yeah, I guess they're okay. What benefit is it? But they're still okay, right?
Right.
Okay, so I don't know.
It comes down to it with everything.
Yeah.
What does it benefit?
All things.
All
yeah.
things. What does it glorify God? Is what I'm doing glorifying God?
Yeah. The last caller said something about laws, and he said, you know, there's not specific laws. Well, Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament says that that Christ has set us free. In Galatians 5:1, he says, now make sure that you stay free. They don't get tied up in slavery to what? The law.
Right.
You know, there's a law. Well, there's a lot of laws. There's a law that if you have your neighbor and his cattle comes and falls into a pit in your land, that you gotta go replace that cow or that calf or whatever happens in your pit because you left it uncovered. And there's so many laws that we don't live by anymore because they don't apply to us culturally. Well, there are specific laws within the New Testament that say, don't get drunk with wine. So
right.
Why are we going to somewhere that you're gonna get drunk or right. that you're going to get drunk? So there, yeah, is there a definitive line biblically? No. Can we rightly divide the word of truth and find that we don't want to abuse a freedom that came at a high cost of Jesus that we didn't pay for? Absolutely not. I'm not going to abuse a freedom that I didn't pay for.
Dude, there you go. Facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to get in on Shock Therapy Live. We got a few questions, and of course, you can call us up, 505-338-3700. It's 505-338-3700. Tattoo seems to be a hot topic, and we will definitely tackle that. We got to take a short break.
Follow tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live, your Sunday evening session. Facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Or, of course, 338-3700, the phone number. Area code 505 if you're not in the Albuquerque area. Hello, you're on Shock Therapy Live.
Hi. First of all, I want to say thank you guys for doing what you guys are doing. I think the Shock Therapy is awesome.
Sweet.
I just kind of want to weigh in. Maybe you guys brought this scripture up, but I wanted to mention the one that says, there's now, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And I think when, because we were talking about dividing up the Word of God, you know, all of us as believers are not condemned. However, we will stand before the Bema seat of Christ and be judged for all the idle words or things that we do cause these stumblings or these sins. And that's something I just kind of wanted to weigh in on and see how you guys take that.
Cool. Thank you for the call, Arthur.
Thank you.
All right. 338-3700 or Facebook.com. In studio with me, I have Denver Miller to my left from Renovate ABQ. And to my right, Ray Del Toro of Vertical, right?
You got it.
ABQ. Vertical ABQ.
Vertical ABQ.
Vertical ABQ.
Everything ABQ.org. Everything ends in ABQ.org around here. So who wants to tackle this one from Arthur?
What was the... Can we summarize that question?
Summarize the question. Well, basically, it's funny because somebody else, Jessica, on our Facebook page, similarly stated, I think. She said, how can going to a club with secular music along with alcohol, which can impair... cause impairment of making good decisions be okay. So, like how we're not under the law, but what we've been talking about. Jessica actually has two things in there, and there's something else I want to tackle from her question in a minute, but let's talk real quick about what, you know, what Arthur was asking. Basically, you know, we say the Bible is clear about this, but, you know, as we talk Romans 14 being a stumbling block, is there even a line? Or, I mean,
Here's a verse that I think kind of sums it up. Ephesians 5:15, and it also talks about don't be drunk.
Right.
5:15, see that none of you walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, but be, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So that verse covers a lot of things.
Right.
So walking in wisdom, where does wisdom come from? The Lord.
Right.
And so our goal is to do the will of the Lord. And so when it comes down to it, there's at the end of this show, there's still going to be people who are like, I think it's okay. I think it's absolutely wrong.
Right.
And so that's why we have the Spirit of the Lord who convicts each one of us individually. And so what should we do? We should walk in wisdom.
Okay.
And where do we get wisdom from? The Lord. We got to be in the Word.
Right. Quite regularly. That's how we are transformed by the renewing of our minds.
That's right, dude. Get sanctified.
Romans 12. Ray, would you like to add anything to that?
No.
We got a call. So, Shock Therapy Live, you're on the air.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, guys. I really just want to let you know this is the first time I'm tuning into the show. And I love the subject matter. I think it's pretty amazing, all the different feedback we get on, you know, going to bars and parties and such. I wanted to just point out one thing. First of all, when we were saying, you were talking about whether or not you're sort of at fault for someone else, you know, say they kick you and, you know, it's their fault because you cussed or whatever. But I was thinking, I wanted to just say one word about that. Responsibility.
Right.
The ability to choose our response. So it's like, you know, we have free will and God gives us that. But I wanted to just really quick touch on Romans. Pretty much Romans 12:9 and about the marks of a true Christian. And basically, you know, saying that live in harmony with one another, don't be haughty, but, you know, associate with the lowly. Now, I brought that point up because it is important that we as Christians can go to those places and be of sober judgment. We don't have to be drunk and, you know, we can be of sober judgment if we are not alcoholics. Okay, that's different, yes. Some of us can, some of us can't. But the point is, do we look like a Christian? What do we look like when we're in that bar? Are you going in that bar and are you acting like your old fleshly, yucky self? Or, you know what I mean? So it doesn't have to be, I know the Bible's pretty much cut and dry. It is, you know, either you're friends with the world and you hate God, or you love God and hate the world. You know, you're not a friend of the world. A bar technically is a friend of the world, but how are we going to get the message to the lowly if we don't go to those places?
Well, and you raised, thanks, Deb, for your call, by the way. And it raises some good stuff to talk about, because I think a lot of times when people say, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, we need to be set apart. Let's talk for a minute about what it means to biblically to be set apart, not Christianly, because I think a lot of times pastors, youth groups, people can put these stigmas or these added things to the grace of God and say, no, that's not being set apart. You have tattoos, or that's not being set apart. You had a beer last week. That's not being set apart. You smoke. What does it biblically mean to be set apart?
Well, I immediately think of Romans chapter 13, verse 14.
Okay.
With her question, with her comment, and then I'll get to that. It says, don't make any provision for the flesh. And then my translation, I use the New Living, right here, and it says, don't participate in the darkness of this world.
Right.
Don't make provision for the flesh. She said something really specific. She said, well, what if in the past you'd struggle with it, but now you have self-control, now you're living by the Spirit? Well, if you make a bed, or set a perfect table for sin to take place, then I would say that's out of the question. If you've struggled with alcoholism in the past, and I won't even use that word struggle, I'll say if you've been blatantly disobedient to what the Bible says in the past, don't make provision for your flesh. Right. Don't go somewhere where you're going to drink and party. Don't participate in darkness. That's for all Christians. More specifically, if you've struggled in the past, if you've been disobedient in the past, that's way out of the question.
I think there's been this weird pendulum swing lately because it seems like for the longest time, it's funny that this is such a hot topic, this question of drinking. Is it okay to drink? Is it okay to
drink? Because we want to party, man.
Then obviously it's sin, right? Because if that's your purpose, if that's your goal, if you can't have a good time without having a beer, then really, you need to take a look and reexamine why you're doing what you're doing. However, I think for someone who comes with sober judgment and someone who actually comes with the question seriously, is it okay for Christians to drink? We've tackled this every single week, and it's such a hot question because I think there's this pendulum swing of up here, no, it's forbidden. You're not even allowed to have a sip of alcohol. This is not what Christians do. And then because of that, there's this opposite pendulum swing of freedom where they're like, I'm free in Christ. I have liberties because Colossians says not to let anybody judge me. Psalm clearly thanks God for wine for making man's heart happy. Jesus himself in scripture, as we just read tonight in the book of Matthew, they called him a wine what? A wine guzzler?
Wine bibbler.
Wine bibbler, because he was drinking in public. And so those religious folk were like, hey, this guy's a glutton and a drunk, because he's hanging out with his friends and enjoying the company of some lowly people. And so there's this weird swing. I'd say it all comes back to the book of James. For him who knows to do it and does it not, for him it's sin. The word sin literally means to miss the mark. The sin of omission, sin of commission. We could get into a whole scripture on sin, but I think, you know, we've talked for like 20 minutes about drinking and we should totally move on.
Agreed.
But it just seems like people either A, want the justification in scripture so that they can go out and get trashed for some reason, but we're telling you blatantly it's never okay to get drunk on wine. The Bible clearly talks about getting drunk. Does
Amen.
It talk about drinking? Yes, it does. Both sides. You know, hey.
Can I share a story?
Absolutely.
Because I feel like maybe a lot of people have problems with alcohol because they grew up in a home where alcohol was abused.
Right.
And for me, that's kind of the case. My father, an alcoholic, left my family when I was four. And so if there's anybody
right.
who would hate alcohol, you would think it would be me, who's like completely against it.
Right.
Not the case. You know, God works through all sorts of circumstances. And when I look back at my life, and sure, it really stunk not having a dad, but I saw what the Lord did on the other end of things. And so for those out there who maybe that's part of the issue, and it's a personal thing for them.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord, what did Joseph say? What you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Right.
And so, just to encourage you guys with that.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of it. That's it right there. I mean, we've talked about it for so long tonight. I can't believe how much show, the topic ate up because everyone's got an opinion about alcohol. I mean, hands down, period. Either it's okay, it's not. But here's what the show is set out to do. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, is it okay to have a drink? I have two pastors in here. Is it okay to have a drink?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Okay. Denver, it's okay to have a drink. Is it okay to get drunk?
No.
No?
Depends. No, yes.
Stop it.
No, it's not
absolutely
okay.
Not ever under any circumstances is it okay to be drunk. And so I think a lot of times people just want the fast food answer so that they can have justification to do something or justification to condemn somebody else.
They want a license.
And so, yeah, a license either way. Either a license to drink or a license to hate on a Christian for drinking. So I think we need to take it back to Scripture, and that's the purpose of the show, Shock Therapy Live. If you're enjoying it, please give us a call. 338-3700 or, of course, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We've got like 4 minutes to tackle this, but we've been asked this like three times tonight on our Facebook page. Tattoos! I'd like to hear the pastor's stance on tattooing and Christianity, both Christians with tattoos and those who want to get them. You raise your hand, Ray. Go.
I was pointing at Denver, but I will say that I want to get a tattoo.
Okay.
What do you have to say about that, Denver?
You should not.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
And next question. I'm just kidding. What does the Bible have to say about tattoos? Denver.
Well, a lot of, just like the same, we talked about liberty. We have liberty in Christ to do things. And so when it comes down to tattoos, a lot of people think you just shouldn't get them. It's a bad witness or whatever reasons. But on the other end of things, why do you want this tattoo?
Right.
And it comes down, you can say that same logic with anything. Why do you want this new car?
Why do you want to have a beer?
Dude,
please,
we're not
please,
going there.
Don't go backwards. Come on.
We're going forward. Sorry. Forgetting what is behind, moving. Okay, sorry. Pressing on.
So we have liberty in Christ to do these things.
Right.
That's clear. And then people might say, well, it causes me to stumble. It can go hand in hand with everything we just discussed.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we're talking biblically about what the Bible says, about tattoos, there's actually only one place that you can take it, and that's Leviticus chapter 19, where it is the only time that it actually talks about tattoos. Here, let's see what we got here. Shock Therapy Live, you're on the air.
Hey, it's me again.
Hello.
Imagine that. This is kind of a trip. What if the tattoo is...
Hope it's not a trip.
...to glorify God? Perhaps it is, I've seen somebody with a tattoo of Jesus on the cross, and it said it is finished.
Right.
And I've seen others have, you know, kanji or, different, you know, like the itch, this, you know, the fish and this thing. So if it's going to glorify God... and it attracts people to God, maybe the lowly or those who think, oh, you're a Christian, you can't mark your body, but you just, you know, it's like, okay, but it's, I did it for God. So I think there is a circumstance where I don't think it's wrong. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Just to get it to be, you know, look like you're a bad guy or just because you want to get more tattoos than everybody else or you want all your arms covered or whatever. What's the motivation? Like you guys said, I like that. And are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? Are you doing it and making other people stumble because it's, you know, it's a bad butt tattoo? Or is it because it's about God? Is that weird?
Well, just the way that you phrased it. But thank you, Deb, for the call. Guys, we literally have a minute to tackle this monster issue, which we're probably going to have to talk about again next week, I'm sure.
And the week after.
And the week after, and the week after. Drinking
I know guys
and tattoos.
Apparently. With tattoos that they got BC, before Christ, and they'll say, yeah, I got this. I'm looking forward to covering it up.
Right.
And this is a testimony for what Jesus has done in my life. Because like Denver said earlier, what you meant for evil, God can mean for good. And God
Absolutely.
Can redeem any situation. And on top of it, right on, man. If you got a tattoo that speaks about the gospel, great.
There you go. And I think as we talk about digging into Scripture, dig in, seek God. The Bible says in Jeremiah that if you seek Him with your whole heart, you will find Him. So don't just ask your pastor, your youth group dude, your friends, what does the Word have to say? And I think that's kind of the point of the show. What does the Bible have to say about tattoos? Leviticus 19 is the only place you'll find it in Scripture where it talks about tattoos, and you would have to get into the culturalisms of the Levitical law, which we do not have time to go into. The only other place I think people try and come at you with not to get tattoos is because your body's a temple, but there Paul is actually talking about sexual immorality.
Dude, we're going to get glorified bodies.
Having nothing to do with tattoos. So, guys, that went really quickly.
Really fast.
Yeah, we're going to have to do this again sometime.
I thought that was just a break.
Say next Sunday.
Let's kick Nate out of this. For reals, man. What good is he?
Next Sunday night, Shock Therapy Live moves to an hour. Thank the Lord so that we can continue talking about this and more issues. I'm sure we'll get tattoos again. I'm sure we'll talk about drinking again. I'm sure we'll talk about. We haven't tackled smoking yet or cussing. I'm sure we'll tackle those here soon. You know, Pastor Levi Lesko said it best. Can you be a Christian and smoke? Most people say no. He says, yeah, you can. In fact, you're probably going to get to heaven a lot sooner because you're going to die. So,
good one.
Ray, thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Mucho.
I enjoyed this.
Denver.
You're welcome.
Thank you. RenovateABQ.org or VerticalABQ.org, right?
VerticalABQ.org is the one you want to go
to. There you go. For your respective places, if you guys enjoyed the talkings of these two pastors. Sweet.
I'm stoked for the Hour of Power next week.
Hour of Power next week. We're going to be ripping phone books in half in the name of Jesus. No, we're not. But we're going to be tackling your questions. Nobody got that joke except people that were around in the 80s. Remember the Power Team? All right. Sweet. Coming right back. We got Let My People Think with Ravi Zacharias, and I will see you guys tomorrow morning for the Old Man and the Steve. Denver and Ray, thanks again so much for hanging out.
Later.
All right.
Thank you, sir.